Welcome you here to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see you gathered in this beautiful Lord's Day morning. We're going to remain seated as we sing just an opening chorus. What though the way be lonely and dark the shadows fall, I know where'er he leadeth, my Father planned it all. There's three verses to this. We'll sing it together and we trust that the Lord will bless us as we worship him.
What though the way be lonely,
service just with that theme, my Father planned it all. We can trust him and leave ourselves in his care and in his keeping. We're going to commence with hymn 160. Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended. School days all done. Heaven will open and Jesus will come. What a day that will be. Let's stand and worship God as we sing these words together. Let's unite our hearts together in the Lord. Let's come into his presence with thanksgiving, even having sung these wonderful words, some golden daybreak, Jesus is coming. All our battles will be won, all our heartaches will be over. Some have tasted that already, having gone into the presence of the Lord. But praise God, for us there is coming a day when the end of sorrow will be. And what a wonderful, glorious day that will be. Our gracious Lord and our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and privileged this morning to bow in thy presence in the name of our Saviour, to proclaim our love for him who first loved us, and to come to worship thee. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt give us help this morning to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray that the words that we sing will not just be songs, but, O Lord, they will minister to our souls. Lord, we thank thee that we can say, my Father has planned it all. We thank you, Lord, we can worship thee, for thou art worthy of our praise in the days of sunshine as well as in the days of sorrow. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou art the unchanging one, same yesterday and today and forever. And our prayer is that, Lord, you will help us to trust thee more, and help us, Lord, to rely upon thee more, and to love thee more, and to be more obedient and more yielded and more Christ-like. And we know these things are not within ourselves, but we pray for the help of thy Spirit to make us the man and woman, the young people you would have us to be, Lord, in this day, call to the kingdom for such a time as this. We thank thee, Lord, for each one who's gathered in our presence who can say with a certainty that they are saved and looking forward to the day of the Lord's coming. They know that there is nothing between them and the Lord, that the blood has covered their sin, that the hand, Lord of heaven, has written their name in the Lamb's book of life, and they are truly redeemed, saved, purchased, brought into that covenant of grace, and they can truly say, I am his and he is mine. Lord, no sweeter assurance can we have the sight of eternity than to know that our sins have been forgiven. And we pray, Lord, that if there's any in this gathering who are not yet saved, who are not yet trusting Christ as their Saviour, that even this day they will call upon the name of the Lord. The miracles of grace will be done in this gathering. The souls will be saved by the Spirit of God. And Lord, even this day we will know with the certainty that God is with us. God is moving. God is blessing us. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast been doing. And our prayer is that, O Lord, you would come and visit us again. Lord, visit this vine and help us to flourish and to grow. Help it to prosper. Help it to have influence in this district. And we ask thee, Lord, that you will save for thy glory. Restore for thy glory. And, O Lord, lead thy people on today in thy praise for thy glory. We do pray for our land today. We realize, Lord, that our land is not a land that follows after God. The first thing that comes to people's mind today is not what would the Lord have me to do. But, O Lord, we see a land that's seeking to serve its own purposes, selfish desires, evil desires. We see a government that continually pushes everything that is against the word of God. And we pray, O Lord, in wrath, thou wilt remember mercy. And, O Lord, please breathe upon our nation again. Visit us, Lord, we ask. Lord, we realize that unless the Lord moves, Lord, things will only get worse. But we thank thee there is a God in heaven who is able. We thank you, O Lord. A few weeks ago, when we were thinking about the life of Elisha, the words were said, this time tomorrow. And, O God, we thank thee that even in a 24-hour period, Lord, you can change a land upside down. O Lord, we pray that you will come and visit Northern Ireland again. We pray, O Lord, that once again the streets will resound with the singing of the praise of God. We pray, O Lord, that people in their homes will have a fear of God. We pray, O Lord, you'll set our churches on fire. Lord, that you will clear up every part of sin in any of our lives. And Lord, we pray that we will not ever be a hindrance to the blessing of God. But Lord, that you'll make us channels of blessing through which you can flow. Bless our church, we pray. We thank you for it. We thank you for the families that was given to this place. We thank you for their faithfulness, for their love, for thee and for the work. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt bless us, we pray. Do not allow the devil to come in to destroy, to divide, or even to discourage. We pray against him in every imp of hell, every attack of hell against this place and against this people. We pray for victory through the blood of Christ. And we ask you, Lord, for liberty in the preaching of the word. And Lord, thou wilt deal with the little foxes as spoil the vine, that, O Lord, there might be a flourishing, fruitful place here. O God, we pray that you will come and protect your people. And Lord, we do cry that while we meet here, there are others here of our family circle who are not saved. O Lord, wilt thou not please go? And Lord, deal with their hearts, we pray, lest they should send their way into hell. Oh, Father, we pray you'll cause them to be grieved over their sin, concerned over their sin. And Lord, that even this day, a work will begin which will result in their salvation. We thank thee, Lord, thou art moving in these days. Thank you for saving in recent days. And our cry is, do it again, Lord. Visit us again. And we'll be careful to give thee the praise and the honor and the glory. We do remember those in this church family who have lost loved ones this week. We do pray for them, O God, that thy comfort and grace will be known. Remember those, Lord, who are sitting at bedside of loved ones. Remember those, Lord, who have come through surgery. For this we give thee praise. For those waiting in surgery, for this we pray for grace. And, O God, we pray that beds will be available even this week for those who need a bed. Pray, O Lord, that meetings with doctors and consultants, Lord, will be successful. Wisdom will be given. And, O Lord, that thou wilt cause us to know that thou art in control of all things. Bless thy children who are suffering today. Lord, we think perhaps some might even be here today, but behind the smile of their sorrow. We pray, Lord, that burdens will be lifted today. Cast upon the Saviour, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, we thank thee that we have one who walks and talks with his people. Lord, we are not worshipping idols. We're not coming to follow some ideology. But we thank thee we have a living Saviour. We thank thee, O Lord, that he meets with his people by his Spirit. And therefore today we pray that the Lord will walk among us. The Lord will speak with a voice that wakes the dead. And even this day we will know a real drawing afresh to the Saviour. Oh, bless us, we pray. Oh, give us joy in the presence of the Lord. May our meditation of him be sweet. And may our lives have the fragrance of Christ, even as we leave this place, because we have met with Jesus afresh today. In his holy and precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord with hymn 43. Hymn 43, not now, but in the coming years. It may be in the better land we'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
We're turning in God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and here we want to continue through our consecutive reading of the New Testament. Let's hear the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15, and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. And we pray God will add a blessing, the public reading of his precious word, confirming and declaring that Christ indeed has risen. We do want to welcome each one to your service this morning. We thank you for joining with us. If you're meeting with us for the first time or visiting with us, we welcome you warmly in the Saviour's name. And to our regular congregation, we thank you for being with us today, and we pray for the Lord's blessing as we continue our service of worship together. Just a few announcements for the rest of today and for the incoming week in the will of the Lord. This afternoon, the open air will take place at O'Hara Road in Muckerah, and we pray God will bless the brethren as they meet there. At 6:15 this evening, we have our time of prayer in the complex hall. And that time of prayer is for our evening service. It's for the unsaved of our community, of our family. But we're also tonight going to have a focus on Vacation Bible School. And therefore, we encourage all of our workers who are taking part in the Vacation Bible School to come along at 6:15 and have that time of prayer together as we leave our week before the Lord, our children before the Lord, our leaders and our teachers before the Lord, and pray for God's blessing to be upon this endeavour. So we encourage all of our church to be there 6:15 this evening for a time of prayer. And then at 7 p.m. we have our Gospel Evening Service, this being the second Sunday of the month. It is our Communion Sunday, and that service will take place after the evening service tonight. And for those who are saved and walking with the Lord, we encourage you to be here and be a part of that Communion service and remember the Lord's death until he come. Tomorrow commences our Vacation Bible School. We do appreciate the prayers of God's people for that. We're very much looking forward to it. Our sister Christina Logan will be along to take that our assembly each morning and to lead the children and teach them in the things of God. And then there'll be different activities taking place until the conclusion at 2 p.m. Now we do ask the parents to send a packed lunch with the children from Monday to Thursday. We at the church will be providing the lunch on Friday, But from Monday to Thursday, please do send a packed lunch. And if you know of others coming, please do let them know that. Please do share the invitation on Facebook. It was put out last week. Do go onto your church Facebook page and share that. Send it personally to on messages to your friends and your family who have children of this age, from primary school right through the end of secondary school, and do let them know and invite them along to the Vacation Bible School. I would also remind all parents who are dropping off their children that a consent form does need to be signed. So do come in to the building, sign that consent form so we have contact details for you before you drop your child off. Monday to Friday, do you remember this in prayer? On Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. We had a wonderful prayer meeting last week. There was a great sense of the Lord's presence, great spirit of prayer. And we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Don't miss out on the blessing of a Tuesday night around the Word of God. And we certainly trust and look forward to the Lord's blessing this week in His will. Friday evening, the young people of Youth Fellowship will be going to the Moy Allen Centre in Portadown for the Youth Fellowship weekend. And our brother Alan will be in touch this week with young people, giving final times and leaving times for that meeting. And we pray the Lord will bless him, give him safety, give him good fellowship together, and most of all, speak to hearts even over that weekend. Next Lord's Day then at 11:30 a.m. is our prayer meeting in the complex hall. 12 noon is family worship. 7 p.m. is the gospel evening service, and that is going to be a parents' evening, as it were, for the Vacation Bible School children. The great opportunity to get families of our community in under the sound of the Word of God. The children will be taking part from the Vacation Bible School, and then our brother, Mr. Jonathan Story, will be bringing the Word of God at that meeting. This will be a farewell meeting for him. His year has come to an end in his help here in Macrofelt. He'll be graduating in September along with her brother Stephen Crawford, and they're open then to a call from the church as the Lord leads them. So do remember our brother Mr. Crawford, brother Mr. Story, as they take this step and graduate in the will of the Lord, and do come out and support our brother next week as we say farewell to him in his capacity as student assistant in this past year. Do keep praying for our youth and our gospel missions. We're coming very close to our youth mission. There will be 2 days of outreach for our church and with a focus on the youth mission. And those will be the first 2 Saturdays in September. So do remember those, the 3rd and the 10th, I believe, off the top of my head. And remember those, and we would seek to get together and work together, getting invitations out into our community. We do also want to pray for Susanna Brown as she commences Crown College UK this week, and pray the Lord will bless you as you study there, and may you know much of God's help and hand upon you as you join there in Crown College. Do you want to remember the families of this congregation that have been bereaved, and their community has known several deaths? And we remember the Forsyth family in the passing of Keith, the Wallace family on the passing of Stephen, the Jones family on the passing of Ivor. Remember Ian and Iona Ferguson of this congregation on the passing of Ian's sister Barbara. And we remember our sister Dorothy McCulloch on the passing of her brother George. And we do pray for each of these family circles. George's funeral is going to be here in the church this afternoon at 2:30. We encourage you to come along and support the family in their time of sorrow. And that funeral service will take place here at 2:30. Do pray for the preaching of the gospel, that it will prosper and the Lord will use it for his purpose and for his glory. And to each of these families, we extend our sympathy, our love and our prayers, and pray God will comfort and sustain in the days that lie ahead. Our prayer request for this week, the Reverend Ravi Pajipaletti, serving the Lord in India, and our sister Miss Joyce Walsh, working among the children here in Northern Ireland. These are all our announcements, and make them subject to the will of the Lord. We want to sing one more hymn, and then we're coming to the preaching of God's precious word. That hymn is 116, 116. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Now, that wonderful chorus, up from the grave he arose. We have a living Saviour, and therefore let's really worship him in this song.
Thank you.
We're turning in God's Word to John chapter 11. And this is our second study in our short series on the character of Martha in the New Testament. She appears in just three occasions. And this is the second one, John's Gospel and the chapter number 11. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we rejoice in the living word of the living God. And as we would come once again to view Martha and how she dealt with these circumstances that visited her home, we pray that there'll be lessons for us as a people of God to learn. Oh Lord, we pray as we go to that tomb and see Lazarus come forth, we pray there'll be, Lord, that teaching brought to the heart of the unsaved, that they too can have life today, that they too can respond to the call of God. And our prayer is that, O Lord, thou wilt minister through this congregation. We need thee, Lord. We would not dare go one step further unless we knew that the Lord was here. And we praise thee, Lord, that we're 2 or 3 hours gathered together. In thy name, there thou art in the midst. All come and visit us, we pray. Lord, empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit and give me help to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy name. For it's in Jesus' precious, worthy name we pray. Amen and amen. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage with one of the greatest miracles, almost one of the last miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did on his way to Jerusalem, going to the place of the cross. This is a miracle in which the Lord demands that the grave gives up its tenant, in which death releases its captive, and where life reigns, where deadness once ruled. You know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he is still able to speak words of life into the hearts of men, women, boys and girls who are dead in trespasses and in sins. He is the only one who can give life, hope, salvation to the sinner. He's the only one who has the power and authority to do so. And therefore, I want us to consider the mighty power of God in this study of Martha. Now, I could have taken 4 or 5 different messages on this passage, but we have to be disciplined. We're looking at Martha specifically in this case, and therefore, we're going to highlight various things as we go down here. And I trust the Lord will write them upon our heart. The first thing I want you to notice is the background to the miracle, and that's found in the first 3 verses of this chapter. And there's 3 things that we do discover in this passage. First of all, we find a family. It's Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And it's among a family that the Lord conducted this miracle. And how wonderful when the Lord does do miracles within families. And whenever the Lord sees in families and gives life within families. Mary and Martha, we've already met. Whenever the Lord visited their house previously, and how the Lord spoke to both and had a message for both about how Mary had chosen the good part of sitting, listening at his feet, and how Martha was too busy and much too busy, and she was missing out on the blessing of his teaching being there. We now meet Lazarus, their brother. This was a loving home. We know that because of the care and the concern of the sisters over the loss and the sickness of their brother. They didn't just sit back and say, well, that's the way it is. They wanted to do something about it. This was a privileged home because it was a home that knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been in their home, he had taught in their home, therefore a loving, privileged home. But not only do we see a family, we see sickness. Because in spite of the privileges of this home, in spite of the love in this home, sickness entered into it. Now we know that these people loved the Lord Jesus. And we know that the Lord Jesus loved these people. However, in spite of these blessings, sickness became a reality in their midst, even a sickness unto death. There's no home in this congregation, indeed in this entire world, that can expect not to have sickness visit within the walls. We cannot escape the hand of sickness. And yet, note in this passage, this is not the punishment of God upon this home. This is not the punishment of God upon this man. And you know, there are some people who have a false teaching that if you're sick, well, then you must have done something wrong. And if you confess that, then you'll get better. Friend, that's not found in Scripture. The Lord has permitted it. It's not a mistake. It is permitted to visit this home and this man. And I'll stand here as the first person in this church, followed by, I assume, most of this congregation, to say we often do not understand why, in such times of suffering, sickness, and even death, why those things would be allowed in our lives. We do not understand why. But for this family, it was something that they understood later on. And the Lord once said to his disciples, "What I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter." We sang a few moments ago, "Not now, but in the coming years." It may be in the better land, we'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. Sometimes we have the privilege of looking back over an event or something that's taken place, and being able to say, "Ah, I see now why. I see how I've learned from that. I see how I've drawn closer to the Lord. I've seen how I've grown," or the blessing that came in disguise. But for some, it will not be until they get to heaven. And we look over the path that the Lord has permitted us to travel, and we will be able to say truly, honestly and sincerely, "As for God, his way is perfect. Then trust in God through all thy ways. Fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing, still praise. For there sometime we'll understand." There was a family in this introduction. There was a sickness in this introduction. But there was also a prayer. It says in verse number 3, "Therefore his sister sent unto him," that is Jesus, "saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." This is a beautiful prayer. This prayer didn't take 15 minutes. This prayer isn't filled with reams and reams of things. We thank God for those prolonged times of prayers. We thank God when we can bring much before him. But you have been in the situation, and I've been in the situation, where sadness has come in, bad news has come in, sorrow has come in, and we can only manage to say a sentence or two. Isn't it wonderful that God hears and answers our prayer? Their message was to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, there's no better place where we can take our needs. The cares of our homes, the cares of our families, our circumstances. Are you in need today, dear child of God? Is there a need in your home? Is there a need in your family? Is there a need in your heart? Take it to the Lord. Their message was a sharing of their problems. They explained what was happening. They explained the sickness unto the Lord. Now, the Lord knows all things. He's omnipotent. He is all-knowing, omniscient. He knew exactly what was happening. But it is the will of God that we would bring our needs before him, and that we would share with our God in prayer the things that concern us. The Lord knows all things. But their faith was shown when they brought the things that they had no control over, and they placed them in the hands of Jesus. "Things in life I cannot alter, I will leave in Jesus' hands. He is able to do all things, and therefore What a privilege it was for them to carry everything to God in prayer. This message that they sent to the Lord left the answer with him. They left it. They left it to the Lord to decide what to do. They were essentially saying, "Thy will be done." They didn't say, "Come back here immediately." They didn't say, "Speak a word and heal him right now." They just left the problem before the Lord. I think of that verse of scripture. It says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." For God's thoughts are higher. God's ways are higher. And sometimes we may become, "Lord, do this," and "Lord, do that," and "Lord, do this," instead of leaving the problem before him and saying, "Lord, do what thou see is best." Knowing that God's way is best. Being able to say, "Lord, thy will be done." What a statement to be able to make. They simply left the matter before him and knew that the Master would have the answer. This message was made on an appeal of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they didn't say, "Lord, the one who loves thee is sick." But they said, "Lord, the one whom thou lovest is sick." You see, this was an appeal. "Lord, those whom you love, the one for whom you suffered." And we can pray today, "The one for whom you suffered, bled and died." These people are in need right now. Lord, these people whom you love and you've kept to this day, Lord, this very moment, they need you. Here's their circumstances, Lord. Work in their circumstances for their good and for your glory. Not only that, their message that they sent to the Lord Jesus was to one with whom they fellowshipped with in better days. Man, this just wasn't a running, scrambling to the Lord Jesus because their back was against the wall. They had a personal relationship with the Lord. They had a friendship with the Lord. They had fellowship with the Lord. This is someone who was a visitor in their home. Someone who was welcome in their home. Someone whom they loved and followed. Someone in whom they had placed their faith. And they had the blessing of sending the message to the Savior in the hour of sorrow. And it was no different to the great days because they also spoke with the Lord in the days which were of ease, where he was in their home, where they listened as he taught. Christ was no stranger for this family. He was no stranger. It was a natural thing for them to send for Jesus. An old Bible commentator says, "We get this lesson that the only true preparation for trial is personal friendship and fellowship with Jesus." If we never turn to the Bible for comfort until some great grief is upon us, it will not give us very much light. But if we have it in the bright days and its words are hung like the lamps in our heart's chamber, then when the darkness grows, those beams will shine out. The truths of God's word will lead us and the blessings of God's revelation will guide us. You know, we were in Israel, as you know, a few weeks ago, and just before we went into Hezekiah's tunnel, in the hot sun, 34 degrees, we all get little torches. And you know, you turn them on to see if they work, and you'd hardly see the light coming out because it was so bright. But I'll tell you, you see, whenever you went into the tunnel, you were a few feet in, and you realize those were essential. Those were needed, because you couldn't get through that place without great danger and darkness. No possibility of going anywhere without pain. And so too with the word of God. We need to store God's word in our heart. We need to learn it. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You see, hide God's word in your heart in the days of ease. So when the days of temptation come, it is there and you can draw on that resource. And as God's people, we should not see the Lord, and I say this reverently, as a service just to run to whenever we're in need. We are to have fellowship with him every step of life's journey. And how sad whenever people only want the Lord, whenever they've nowhere else to turn. I wonder, dear child of God, have you sat at Jesus' feet today? Have you thanked him today you're saved? Have you worshipped him for who he is? Have you rejoiced in his presence? Been changed by his power? Let's notice in verses 4 to 6 Jesus' reaction to the request. He says in verse number 4, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby." Now we know that Lazarus did die. So what did the Lord mean? Was this a mistake? Well, of course it wasn't a mistake from the one who is holy, the one who is without sin. What the Lord is saying here is that death will not have the final say in this scenario. Death will not win, but death will be defeated for the glory of God. Oh yes, for a little while death may have a hold, but death will not have the final say. Isn't it wonderful to know that Christ has the final say? Isn't it wonderful to know in the circumstances, even in the midst of death, that the Lord is able to speak? And then we see something, not only the Savior's response, but we see his love. In verse number 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus." The Lord's love is emphasized in this passage. And the Spirit of God in his wisdom knows the hearts of men. And we may wonder, why did Jesus delay? And therefore the emphasis is put here. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Make no mistake about this. Make no doubt about this. Look at their circumstances. Their home is in sorrow. Their home is sitting as death and sickness take hold. And Jesus isn't running to intervene at this particular moment, but he loves them. Make no mistake about it. I love the fact that the three are mentioned here. Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Why is that significant? Because these were three different people. We certainly know between Martha and her sister, there were two different personalities, two different temperaments. One was willing to sit and not worry about what was going on around her, to listen to Jesus. One was so busy, she was hardly time for anything. And yet the Lord loved them. You know, some people think that everybody needs to be like them in order for them to be useful to the Lord. But you know, the Bible tells us that God takes the widow's mite and the fortune of the wealthy Barnabas and uses it for his glory. God takes fiery and Peter and meek John and uses them for his glory. God takes the slave girl in Naaman's house, and yet he also takes King Solomon to further his purpose. And let us never assume with pride in our heart that people should be more like us. But let us come before God and say, "Lord, make me usable and clean in thy sight. Make me more like my Savior." Instead of trying to consider what everybody else should be. The love of God was for all of these people, with their different temperaments, with their different personalities, with their different strengths and weaknesses. The Lord loved them. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord loves us? In spite of who we are, the Lord loves us. And then we see the Savior's delay. The Savior's delay, it says, "And when he had heard, therefore," verse 6, "that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Whenever we read that in Scripture, humanly speaking, the question is, why, Lord? Why, Lord? What can we learn from the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ delayed his return to Bethany? Well, the first thing is this: the Savior's delays are not denials. This is not the Lord saying he wouldn't step in. This is not the Lord saying he wouldn't help. But rather, not yet. And whenever trouble comes, we're often impatient. But we must remember that the Savior's delays are not denials. We must secondly remember that the Savior's timings are perfect. J.C. Ryle said, "Christ is too wise a physician to make any mistakes." And we must remember that the Savior's actions bring glory to God. And therefore, in the time when you want the thing done yesterday, or last week, or a month ago, remember God's timing is perfect. And God works in his perfect time, with his perfect plan, and many times we stand back and we say, "Oh, I'm glad that's the way it was." Then we go down to verse number 17. And it says, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Martha goes to meet the Lord Jesus, and she shares her disappointment with the Lord. If. Lord, if. And many times have we used that little word, if. And many times have we walked down that path. And many times, if only this had been done, or that had been done, then things would have been different. Only if he had done something, or she had done something, then things would be different. Only if I had done something, things would be different. But consider what she was saying. What she was essentially saying was, Lord, if you had only done it my way, how different things would have been. You see, the Lord Jesus didn't have to be in the presence of Lazarus to heal him. Just a word from Lazarus from across the, or a word from Jesus from across the country, and the sickness would have to flee. But Martha had this in her mind. And we see from what Mary says later on in the passage and how Mary speaks to the Lord. They had obviously been talking together and come to this conclusion. If the Lord had only come, things would have worked out okay. If he'd only come in our time, whenever we bid him. I believe that the devil would often have us think, if only. And perhaps people spend their lives daydreaming. If only. If only. If only I could do this, or only I could do that. If only I lived there or lived here. If only I was there or there. If only this happened or that happened. If only I hadn't made that decision or I had. And they're spending their lives, if only, if only, if only, instead of living in the day that the Lord has given. Pray that the Lord would not allow us to waste our lives and our thoughts and our time in the if onlys, but to rest in his sovereign purposes and will. And yet, in the midst of that, she shows her faith. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She's saying, I still trust you. Even though this didn't work out the way I thought, even though you didn't do what I thought you should have done, I still trust you. And the Lord Jesus said unto her, in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. And there is the hope of the resurrection. Martha said unto him, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. While that was some comfort, it wasn't a great comfort to Martha now. She was disappointed. That was some far-off time in the dim, distant future. That wasn't going to solve her pain now. That wasn't going to heal her home now. But look what the Lord Jesus Christ said to her in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is that if you're trusting in him, if your hope and confidence and assurance is in the person and the work of Christ, he gives life. He gives life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that gives true life, eternal life, spiritual life. And even if the person dies, he shall live. Friend, death is not the end. This is the wonderful hope for the child of God. Yes, death comes to all, but for the child of God, it is not the end. Death comes to the ungodly man as a great affliction, as God's judgment. But to the righteous man, death is a summons to his Father's house. To the sinner, it is essentially execution. The end of life, the end of opportunity, falling into hell. to the saints and undressing of this earthly body to be brought into the glorious garments of heaven. Death to the wicked, C.H. Spurgeon said, is the king of terrors. Death to the saint is the end of terrors. Christ dealt with death upon the cross. He absorbed the very blackness and the gloom of death in his own soul as he passed through the valley of death. I praise God, now in the valley of death there's a light for the people of God. What we call dying is simply passing through the gate into heaven. Some people say death is the end. Death is the end. What does that mean? Well, some people believe that's just the end of time, the end of existence, the end of consciousness, all of those things. Friend, that is not what death is the end of. For the sinner, death is the end of opportunity to be saved. Death is the end of the opportunity for you to turn from your sin and trust Christ. But you see, for the Christian, death is the end of sin. It's the end of mortality. It's the end of imperfection. It's the end of struggle. It's the end of sorrow. It's the end of heartache. It's the end of all of those things that make life awful. That cause us to sorrow. That cause us to cry. True life goes on in a fuller way than we could ever experience in this life. The hymn writer said, it is not death to die. To leave this weary road and midst the brotherhood on high to be at home with God. It is not death to close those eyes long dimmed by tears and wake in glorious heavenland to spend eternal years. It is not death to fling aside this earthly dust and rise on strong exulting wing to live among the just. Jesus, thou Prince of Life, thy chosen cannot die. Like thee, they conquer in the strife to reign with thee on high. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked in verse number 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He didn't say, understandest thou this? No, he said, believest thou this? And do you believe that Jesus is the giver of life? Do you believe that Jesus gives you life, abundant, eternal, everlasting, meaning that when you close your eyes in death, in this scene of time, you open them in eternity, glorified forever with the Lord, all sin and sorrow, sickness and pain pass. That is the gospel. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? What she say, yes, Lord. I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. The matter was settled once and for all. Martha believed. Do you believe this morning? Are you trusting in Christ for salvation? You know, whenever we come to see the Lord's interaction with Mary, we see something just very briefly. It says in verse number 33, and when Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping. I think that's a very precious thing. There was so much going on that day. So many people, the professional mourners were there. The genuine mourners were there. There was a hustle and the bustle. The Lord was there. And the people were trying to support the family at this time. And yet in the midst of it all, the Lord saw the tears of his child. Jesus sees the one who weeps. He is touched by their tears. The Bible tells us he remembers their tears. They're kept in the bottle. But the Bible also tells us that the Lord will dry their tears. One day every tear will be wiped away. And friend, not only do we see Mary crying and the mourners crying, we see the Savior groaning in the Spirit, being troubled. And when he stood before the grave, we read these words, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He is acquainted with our grief. He bore our sins and our sorrows. Christ wept. Why was he weeping? Why was he weeping? Many Bible commentators have many answers. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ stand there and weep? One I read this week, and I believe, certainly, while it may not be the only reason, certainly is one of the reasons, is the Lord stood, he viewed the effects of sin in this world. Do you remember he wept over Jerusalem? Because of the hardness of their heart. And now he stands before a tomb and realizes sin has brought death into this world. What the Lord Jesus say? Verse number 39, take ye away the stone. Now Martha had issue with that, and she said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. But he said, take away the stone. And the instruction of the Lord Jesus seemed absolutely foolish at this time. It seemed reckless. People questioned the Lord. Why would you do that? That's not the normal thing to do. That's not the sensible thing to do. My friend, had the stone not been removed, there would be no miracle. And the lesson's very simple. Whatever he saith unto you, do it. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, you do it. You see, there are people today, and even within churches, that believe that the full gospel preaching is reckless and foolish. Oh, if you want to win people to church and you want to see people come in, well, you can't keep telling them that they're sinners. You can't keep telling them that God is angry with them. You can't keep telling them they're on their way to hell. That's putting people off. So don't do that. Just tell them nice things. Make them feel good about themselves. Friend, this is God's way. And God has told us to preach the gospel to every creature. We'll stand before him and give an account of that. It doesn't make sense to the world. But that doesn't matter. God has said to do it. It's a divine command from heaven to preach the word of God. And that's what we do. Whatever the Lord calls you to do, you do it. Make sure you're in obedience to the Lord and the blessing will follow. Then we find Jesus praying before the people. And it says in verse number 41, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And here we have Christ praying. Remember, he is our great high priest. He is the one who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Christ prays for his people. And it says there, thou hearest me always. There's that continual intercession for the people. Christ is praying for us. And then we see in verse 43, and when they had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And there's two things here. He called him by name. He called him by name. And it was a call to rise and to be free. Lazarus, come forth. Come forth out of death. Come forth out of the grave. Come forth out of the bondage. Your hands and your feet are wrapped and are bound. But come forth at my bidding. And friend, today, the Lord Jesus Christ is still calling sinners by their name to rise out of their sin and to come on to him in the life that he gives to them. Perhaps you know Jesus is calling you. Perhaps you've sat in these meetings over recent weeks and you've tried to stifle the tears. You've tried to put your mind on something else because Jesus called you by name. Come forth. Come out of sin, come out of Demas, come and be saved, come into life. And yet today you sit in the darkness of sin and in hopelessness, but you can be saved. Jesus is calling sinners today, and whenever Jesus calls, he gives power to those who will obey. And he that was dead came forth, verse 44. That's my testimony. I was dead in sin. But I was made alive in Christ, and that night I came forth out of the deadness of my sin into new life in him. That's a testimony of every believer, and praise God, it can be your testimony too. Will you not come and repent of that sin? Will you not call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin? Look what it says in verse 44. And when he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin, Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Isn't it interesting that the Lord didn't loose him and let him go, but he told the people to do that? You see, you'll find that Jesus did what only he could do that day. Only Jesus could give life. Only Jesus could bring the dead out of the grave. The rest the men could do. They could untie the napkin, they could untie the bandages, they could let him go. And friend, that's exactly what they did. Christ will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. But praise God, he's willing to do what man cannot do. As we close this morning, there are people that need to be saved from the deadness of their sin. They need to come forth this morning in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And eternity for the child of God, death bringing us into eternity for the child of God, is something the born-again Christian can look forward to. But for the sinner, it's a horror of the blackness of hell forever. No hope, no release, no miracle, no light, nothing for you but the knowledge of the gospel that Jesus Christ can save. But knowing you passed the deadline, knowing you did not heed the invitation, knowing you did not respond to his word, you refused him that speaketh. But praise God, you're in this gospel meeting. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Would you over evil a victory win? The writer said there's power in the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the one who stood outside the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. There's power in his never failing blood to save you this morning. We're going to close by singing two verses of that hymn. And friend, if there's one person this gathering needs to be saved, I urge you, I beg you, you call upon the Lord to save you. As God's people are singing this for you, there is still power in the precious blood. And then we'll finish off with those words, the blood shall never lose its power. I'm going to sing verse 1 and verse number 2 and then go into that chorus, the blood shall never lose its power. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Is there someone this morning who needs to be saved? Is there someone who needs to come from the darkness of sin into the light of the gospel. Jesus is able to save you. If he's calling you this morning, do not turn away. If you hear his voice, do not refuse him. But say, Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming to thee for salvation and for cleansing, for new life, for eternal life. I'm coming to thee to be saved. The Lord will hear you this morning. Friend, don't leave in the deadness of sin. Oh, do not leave without Christ. But he who has a voice that wakes the dead calls you to come today. Heavenly Father, we know that in a meeting such as this, there's a battle going on within hearts and minds. There's people need to be saved, and yet the devil will put into their heart just another day. Wait till next week. Wait till the evening service. Lord, there's not one in this meeting can guarantee that they'll ever see their home again. Not one can guarantee that they'll be here within the next hour. But Lord, we thank thee for the promise of the word of God that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a guarantee. And O God, I pray that not one will leave thy house and thy presence and thy people and go out in their sin, on their way to hell, without any concern about their soul. Lord, surely it's time for them to be saved. Call them today. May they hear thy voice calling them by name to come to Jesus. Give grace, deciding grace in this meeting. And we'll be careful to give thee the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.